grace today. Yes, we do, Lord. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Because when we see, because when we see you, we find strength to face the day.
Thank you. when the night is holding on to me. God is holding on.
Amen for that. Amen. Amen. He is faithful and he is true. Amen. He will never leave you nor forsake you, for he is good. Nice to see all of you here today. Pastor Brad, welcome to Seaport. Those of you that are here and those of you online, great to have you. Hallelujah. Let's pause and just pray for a moment. It's Holy Week or Passion Week. We just recognize all that Jesus experienced for us in that last week of his life. We'll talk a little bit about today, but, you know, seize the opportunity. Amen? I mean, we've given you those gas cards and the St. Patrick's Day cards and the movie invites and all those things. I hope you've seized them and used them and seen that as an opportunity to reach out to somebody. And this week, just invite somebody not to come, but to come with you next week. Amen? Two services, 9 and 11. We're already over 200 in registration. Okay? So, just be aware of that, okay? So you need to register, okay? So, anyway, so thank God for that. But let's pray right now that our friends and family, there are people here today that met Jesus on an Easter Sunday morning, and we're never the same. And they're still here. So let's pray that that happens next week. Amen? You know, Lord, thank you. There's still enough in the hearts and minds of men and women that, God, that they recognize that Easter might be a good time to go to church. And Lord, I pray that you use it not for just for people to become religious or go to church, but to have an experience with you and just encounter the life-changing power and presence of Jesus. So help us to be effective and diligent, reach out to people that we love and give invitations and have them come with us. And God, may next week, may there be many names written down in the book of life. Hallelujah. We just trust you that you're going to use us this week to love people for you. Invite them to come with us. Be glorified in it all today, we pray. Amen, friends. Amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated. Amen. Jessica's coming back to talk to us here just a little bit. Hallelujah. And by the way, how many of you came to the Ranger Derby yesterday? Wasn't that amazing? That was like, I think, the best derby ever. Thanks to all of the Royal Ranger men, leaders, and put all that together, all of you that worked on that. And that was just phenomenal in every way. And so thank you so much. I was so proud of all of you. Amen. Jessica?
Hello again, everyone. We are going to take a second to actually clap and welcome our visitors. But it doesn't end there. So we have had visitors every single week, and there are so many ways that you can plug in to Seaport, and we don't want you to slip through the cracks. We want to be able to show you the best place for you. So there are so many ways to connect with us. We have social media, so you can go find us on Facebook. We have an Instagram. We have an app. How cool is that? So you can download our app. I think all the information is behind me. And then we also, this is pretty cool and it's brand new. So if you have not connected with us before and you're new to Seaport, that's key. So if you might want to participate in this thing because you're like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. But if you've been here a long time, sorry, it's not for you. If you're new and you connect with us by sending us a text to the number behind us, then we are going to give $10 in your name to help the refugees in Ukraine. So that's pretty cool. So do that. Don't miss out on that opportunity. And with that, there are so many other opportunities here right now. So we have this Friday as our Good Friday. We have a Journey to the Cross. It's full immersive multimedia experience about you know, the day that our Lord was crucified. And more importantly, it's how it affects you, right? He did it for you. So come and experience it and sit in this and experience all everything that Pastor Debbie set up. It's so beautiful, the whole thing. So don't miss it. It is set up all day. So you can just come in. You can breeze through quickly. You can sit and just be here for hours if you wanted to, but enjoy it. Also, Easter service. Pastor Brad already mentioned we have two services. Make sure you register ahead of time just so that we know to be prepared for you, because there's so much going on, and we want to make sure that the classes are prepared for the children and that the services are fully ready for you. Also, we have April 24th is the newcomers reception, so that's an opportunity to ask any questions that you might have about Seaport and to connect with us. We also have Ride to the Cross on April 24th. So if you have a motorcycle, you are invited to that experience. We have April 28th is a young adults event. So young adults, I was pretty bummed that I'm no longer in that group. So I believe it is age 18 to 30. Is that it? 18 to 29. So sorry, if you're 30, you're also not invited. But you can come join that event. It's going to be a good time. And then a couple more. We have Blessing of the Bikes, which is May 1st. It is back. So even cooler is we have the signups today. If you want to be a part of the day and just help out and volunteer, go back out to the Narthex today after service and sign up to help. We need all the help we can get. And then we have a finance webinar coming up on May 5th. And this Wednesday, we have a service of prayer and praise. So don't miss it. And now we have Miss Melissa coming up.
Thank you. All right, so you've been hearing about it. This morning, we have a very special song that's been prepared for you from our early childhood class. They've been practicing weekly with my dad, Mr. Brian, who will be up here on the guitar, and their teachers. So a big thank you to every teacher and Mr. Brian for coming in and practicing with the kiddos. So now we're going to go ahead and open up the center doors, and our kids are going to walk in. So I would like to give them a big welcome. We're going to put some fun music. This is one of our favorite worship songs for the kids. Okay. They should be coming. Miss Stacy, can you run out and see if they're right there? Okay, here they are. They're probably a little bit nervous, so give them some big smiles. One of our favorite worship songs that we do with them every week. All right, my friends, come on in so all your moms and dads can see you. Yay! I'll jump off the ground and show. Are you guys ready? All right. Well, as you can tell, they are very excited to be here. Why don't you guys all hold up your masks? and you can show everyone. There you go, as we get ready for our song. So our song that we're doing this morning is called Bullfrogs and Butterflies. It's a beautiful song about how Jesus changes our life when we ask him to be our best friend. All right, let's take it away.
Good morning, girls and boys. Good to see you again. I hope you all brought your singing voices today. You've done really well in class. Again, just to remind you, I'll count off 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we'll start singing. Okay, are you ready? All right, we're ready. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Everybody sing. Spread your wings, you butterfly. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Everybody sing. Bullfrogs and butterflies, you've both been born again. Bullfrogs and butterflies, you've both been born again. Bullfrogs and butterflies, you've both been born again. Bullfrogs and butterflies, we've both been born again. Both been born. Both been born again. We both been born again. Yay.
That was wonderful, my friends. Guess what? Before we come down, I want everyone to take your mask off, give a big smile to your parents, and can everyone shout, "Bullfrogs and butterflies, we've both been born again." Are you guys ready? Take your mask down. 1, 2, 3. Bullfrogs and butterflies, they've both been born again. Yay!
Thanks, kids. That was great. Hey, you know, some of you get nervous when I ask you to come up here and share anything. And so, you know, let alone come up here and sing. So thanks for all that work, Brian. And I appreciate that. They rehearsed that. And I mean, you know, rehearsed that over several weeks. And come on up here, Lindsay, our daughter. And Lindsay just shared this with me this week. And I said, you know what? I think that's just a fun, kind of a fun story to tell everybody about giving. So just share with everybody what you shared with me this week about giving. And Felix, who was up here and who was a little apprehensive, it seems. But anyway.
Good morning. So I'm Lindsay, and you just did see my son up here, kind of. behind the mask. So do your kids ever randomly ask you for some kind of toy that they've dreamed up? Felix has been asking me for a large fire truck with a ladder that extends. I told him I would add one to his birthday wish list and hoped he would forget about it. Last Sunday, as we were getting ready for church, Matt reminded Felix that he hadn't paid his tithe in a while. We found a dollar in his wallet and told him that he needed to bring it to church and give it to Jesus. Instantly, he starts crying, and he tells me he doesn't want to give his dollar because he won't have enough money to buy a toy. I reminded him that the last time he gave a dollar to Jesus, he received a surprise $11 in the mail the next day, and I encouraged him that he would not miss the dollar. Felix was not a cheerful giver, but he did put his dollar in the offering last week. On Tuesday, we were hanging out at home when he pointed out that a large toy truck that he received for Christmas was broken. After examining the toy for about 10 minutes, I could not figure out why the door on it would not close. And in a bit of frustration, I sent an email to the company kindly asking them if there was anything that they could do. In the meantime, my mom had found the same toy online for a fraction of the original price and generously purchased it without me realizing it.
Grandma.
Yeah. A few minutes later, I received an email from the toy manufacturing expressing their regrets that the toy wasn't working. I was expecting them to tell me that there was nothing they could do, but I was hoping that maybe they would send me a coupon or a replacement part. Instead, they informed me that they no longer had that item in stock, but they wanted to make it right and directed me to three links of other toys that I could choose as a replacement free of charge. Wouldn't you know that one of those toys was a large fire truck with a ladder that extends? For God, it's not about the amount of money or even how happy you are to give it. If he cared enough about a four-year-old's dream of a fire truck and his grumpy $1 offering, think about how much he cares about the things that you want and need. You just have to take the first step and be obedient to him.
Amen. Thanks, Lindsay. Thank you. Woo. Amen. Amen. I hope that that's encouraging. That goes for kids, teens, and us adults as too. Honor the Lord with tithes and offerings. Amen? Amen. Do that. And it comes back in such amazing ways. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. There's lots of ways to give around here. You can give in the little kiosks that are out there, those little giving boxes. You can do it that way. You can use text to give. You can use it through the app. Whatever works for you, that's ways to give that way. There isn't an offering basket this past, and so just give it that way. Thanks for being so generous and faithful. Thanks, Lindsay. I just thought, she shared that with me. I just thought that's such an encouragement. And I thought, I hope parents are teaching their kids to give and to tithe, that their kids can see how that God honors that. I hope you're doing that, Mom and Dad. Amen? I hope you're doing that. And watch, let them see God bless their lives. And so that's a great thing. Thank you again, Lindsay, for doing that, sharing that with us. I thought that was just such, just such fun. Hallelujah. We're beginning a brand new series, and after you see this little video, I'll explain something to you. But right now, as we begin this brand new series, let's witness the resurrection. We begin with Palm Sunday. Let's take a look at this quick little video.
No, because you like to use hyperbole.
Hyperbole? I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean?
It means I don't like to brag.
Okay. There's nothing to brag about. Just just tell them about Felix.
Okay, well, it was just another day. Nothing unusual about it.
Just skip all that and tell them about Felix.
Well, I can't skip all that. Details are important in the story.
Yeah, the only important detail in the story is how God used our little Felix.
I'm pretty sure that history is going to find everything else more important in the story.
Jesus rode on our donkey Felix into Jerusalem.
It's true, he did. Okay, so I was sitting there one day mending your temple garment.
I'm always tripping over that thing.
Yeah. He's clumsy. But he's my clumsy. So I'm sitting there sewing, and I look out the window, and I see these two guys, and they're untying Felix.
Yeah, we generally keep him tied to the fence in the daytime so we don't have to shut the gate, you know, when we come in and out, in case we want to take him someplace.
We're sharing the details.
Sorry.
Okay. So I come running outside, and I said, "Hey there, fellas, just what do you think you're doing?"
Hey there, fellas. She's a tough cookie, this one, huh? Pretty tough.
And all they said was, the Lord needs it. That's it. No explanation. No, we'll bring him back. No, how much do you want for him? Just, the Lord needs it.
So I come home from work, and I notice that Felix is missing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to break the news to him that I let some strangers take our donkey.
And that's when we heard all the shouting. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And we rush to the door, and we go outside, and we just see throngs of people lining the streets.
And they're out there waving their branches, mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. saying, "Hosanna! Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
And guess who is right in the middle of all of it?
Jesus.
Felix.
What?
Well, he was. I mean, I was just so proud of our Felix. I mean, God use Felix to carry Jesus in the Messiah parade. I'm proud of this woman right here because we got to be used by God that day. Because you said yes. You said yes when everybody else would have said no.
By the way, Jesus gave Felix back.
Ah, yeah, he did. Jesus also borrowed a tomb later that week. He gave that back too.
So let me explain something, okay? I don't know that the donkey's name was Felix. It just coincidentally worked with that video. But I'm sure that that young donkey was very cute, but he was not as cute as my grandson, Felix. Anyway, on with the message. And middle schoolers, yeah, you guys are released to head out of here. If a TV reporter, news reporter, was moving through the crowd that day on that parade, on that what we call Palm Sunday, was asking this question, what did you expect? I bet you every single person waving a palm or throwing their garments down in front of Felix, or whatever the donkey's name was, would have said, "This is it. This is it." Let's go to the story of the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, and how Mark records it. And let me just highlight a little bit there in Mark chapter 11 about what is happening here. And then I will explain and give you a little bit of background so that you can understand just how did a parade like this just get started? And what did it really mean? And how does it touch us? How does it touch us? They're approaching Jerusalem, Jesus and his disciples, and they're staying in some villages out on the Mount of Olives, which is just adjacent to the city of Jerusalem. They're one of thousands of people that have descended upon Jerusalem and the area for the great feast of the Passover, where they recognize the deliverance that Moses brought to the people as they left Egypt and then went into the promised land 1,000 years before. The atmosphere is already charged with thoughts of deliverance because it's Passover. Jesus is in town to celebrate it. He gives his instructions, as you heard in the funny little video, to two unnamed disciples to go into one of the villages and grab this donkey. And it's just always kind of captivated me to think, you're just going to walk into town, grab this donkey, and if somebody says anything about it, just say, the Lord needs him. And they go, okay. And they take this donkey and they throw garments over his back, and a donkey that had never been ridden. That's an important part of the story. And they begin to, and Jesus climbs on the back of this little donkey, who's probably wondering what on earth is going on here. And they begin this parade. They go down the hill leading out of the Mount of Olives into the gates of the city of Jerusalem. And the crowds, already thousands of people, begin to line the streets with palm branches that they've cut and pulled down. They pull their coats off and they've thrown them down. And they're shouting, "Praise God," or "Hosanna." "Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in the highest heaven." It's an amazing experience for all those who participate. Jesus goes from there, rolls into the temple, looks around, and then leaves. And this is about Sunday afternoon, Palm Sunday. It's amazing what is happening here and what this all means. Now, we know from all the descriptions that Jesus and the donkey are right center to the whole thing. I'm trying to imagine what was going through that donkey's mind, you know. Says, wow, this is a celebration. It's not even my birthday. And you know, the donkey's rolling through town, and Jesus is riding him, which, again, is amazing that this donkey would even allow that, and especially in that kind of an environment. But why did all of that happen? What was going on there? You have to understand that the Jewish people literally had for centuries heard that there another deliverer would come, a Messiah that would set them free and establish once again the greatness of their land, their country, Israel. The atmosphere was already charged with that promise, as it had been for 500 years. And now comes a young rabbi riding a donkey. To you and I, that would mean nothing. But to them, it was everything, because the words of Zechariah the prophet, issued 500 years before that, said this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humbled and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey." And they were saying, this is it. Our deliverer has come. A moment of triumph. Could you imagine hearing that your whole life, and now you're seeing it. You're seeing it. All they could think of was rescue was coming. They absolutely despised the Roman Empire that was now occupying their land and had control over them. They absolutely detested the feel of oppression that they had from the Romans that controlled them. And all they could think of was, the Messiah has come. He's going to boot these Romans out of here and reestablish the glory of our land. If Jesus had been riding on a stallion, the Romans would have immediately seen that as some sort of military operation and shut it down, because they were used to conquering heroes and military exhibitions where conquering people would ride white stallions. But he wasn't riding a stallion. He was riding a donkey. I can imagine in the Roman barracks there, they were laughing in hysterics at the foolishness of what seemed to be these people out there, these weird, superstitious people that they looked down upon, that they didn't even want to be in their country to occupy their land. They didn't want to. Nobody wanted to serve in that duty station. And they're probably laughing hysterically. Look at these foolish people. Their hero rides a donkey. But to the Jews, it meant everything, because they knew that that was the fulfillment of prophecy. And God was making good on his word, as he always does. But there was a challenge there, and there was a problem, and there was a misconception in that whole thing. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But as the people began to yell and quote the verse and sing the verse that they always had during Passover from Psalm 118. This was just part of something that they did and they sang. It was part of the Psalms that they used during that season there. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our Father. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, we sing it. We don't really catch the full. It was a cry of praise. It was a cry of God, come and save us. Come and deliver us. Oh, you've come. It meant all of that. And when they broke out into that, that had been the prayer that they had prayed every year. And now they're seeing it. They're seeing it. But were they? What were they seeing? What they thought they were seeing and what they were actually seeing were not the same. Their expectations were off base, to say, just a little. I mean, they were actually way off. Jesus, for 3 years, had repeatedly, it was no secret. He had repeatedly said to them, he said, guys, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm not coming to establish a political reign. I'm not here to set a new government in place. I'm not here for anything of that. I'm establishing the kingdom of God in your hearts. Because once there's peace in your heart, then things will change. And he starts there with them, but they couldn't get it. They were so locked into this idea. They've been taught, a lot of them have been taught their entire life, that the Messiah would come with great power and as a conquering hero. And that's what they expected. And even though Jesus had repeatedly told them, that's not how I'm coming, that's not how I'm doing it, guys. They were so locked into their paradigms and their thought processes that they couldn't, a lot of them couldn't see anything else. Jesus rolls down the Mount of Olives into the gates of Jerusalem and into the temple. All they could think of was deliverance, deliverance. And yet, that's a Sunday afternoon. Things would not go like the people thought they should. Jesus would not do the things that they thought he should. He didn't perform and act like they wanted him to during that holy week. And so Friday morning, Sunday afternoon, Friday morning, some of the same people who lined the streets and said, Hosanna, Hosanna, stood below Pilate and said, crucify him, give us Barabbas. Numbing to think about it, because he didn't fit their expectations. Maybe not that dramatic, but maybe that's happened to you somewhere along the line. Your expectations didn't line up with your experience of reality. Maybe you thought, wow, you know, this new job is going to be so amazing. I'm going to love the people that I work with, the opportunities for promotion. I'm going to love what I do, the projects we're going to work on. And 6 months in, you go, I hate this. Maybe you've had that. Maybe you thought, wow, this new church is going to be the one. And you get in and you discover this pastor is just like all the other pastors. And it doesn't fit your expectations. Maybe you step into a brand new relationship and you say, wow, this is going to be so great. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. A few months later, you go. I think a lot of us have had experiences where expectations failed. Maybe they were unrealistic. Maybe they were wrong. You know, part of my role as your pastor has been to provide premarital counseling for engaged couples. And I've learned a few things doing that over 40 plus years. And I've learned that there's a simple way to determine There's many ways, but there's a simple way to determine how well, what kind of a future that couple is going to have, the amount of conflict that they're going to have, and the potential for healthy relationship. I discovered that early on and created a simple little tool to help me help them lay a solid foundation for their relationship and to assess where they're at. I call this tool the Big E. It has nothing to do with the fair in West Springfield in September. Okay? It has everything to do with what you expect. And this little tool will take a couple through all the topics that make up marriage and relationship and give them an opportunity to talk through what they expect, because what I've discovered so often is that couples come into marriage with very often very similar or very dissimilar expectations that are unverbalized. For instance, the couple that came in, and I said, let's talk about your expectations for vacations. Okay, fun topic. The husband starts. He said, wow, every year we're going to spend 1 week backpacking in the remotest places of America. And she's like, what? We're going to do what? Yeah, we talked about that. I don't remember talking about that. Yeah. I said, oh boy, this is going to be fun. I can't wait till we get to her. So I said, okay, so it's your turn. She goes, wow, that's easy. Every year, we're going to spend a week with my mom. I said, oh, this is about to get fun. Expectations weren't even close. We worked it through, but it was an adventure. But anyway, expectations, how you approach things, how you come at things can greatly impact your experience and what happens, you know? And maybe you've got a series of expectations. Maybe you thought, once I get to this amount of money in my bank account, then, and you discover once you get there, you think, I think I need more. Well, once I get this house, it's going to be great. And maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Oh, this car. I got to have this car. Or Felix, you know, I got to have this truck with this letter. Or maybe, but then you realize the expectation didn't deliver. And that's where they were that day. They had wrong expectations about what Jesus was coming to do. And a lot of people have wrong expectations about what Jesus does and what he's going to do. And sometimes it doesn't end well when we have wrong expectations, wrong things. But I want to say this to you. Jesus will always exceed your expectations. They just may not look like you think. And they would exceed what those guys and the throngs of people did expect that day that lined those streets. Expectations about Jesus. Where did yours come from? Where did you get those? Where are they leading you to? Maybe it was just some talking point that you've never explored. Maybe it was a book that you read. Hopefully, maybe it was the Bible you got your expectations from. Maybe you got your expectations of Jesus about from some friend who really represented Jesus well, or maybe you got them from somebody that didn't represent them well. Maybe you got them from growing up in, you know, Sunday school or catechism, or maybe you got them from who knows where. Maybe you just thought them up on your own. Wrong expectations and perceptions of Jesus could lead you to conclusions that aren't valid and bring you into disillusionment and pain, or they can bring you to a place of intimacy and nearness and adventure and power. The guys that lined the streets that day had the wrong expectations and perceptions. That's probably why some of them on Friday would do what they did. They didn't get it. And you know, I understand it, because Jesus does a lot of unexpected stuff. He says a lot of unexpected things. I mean, all you got to do is read the Gospels, and just you can kind of see the shock in people's faces, and the questions, and the disciples were continually saying this to one another: "Hey, what's he talking about? I don't know. Ask him. I'm not going to ask him. You ask him. I'm not asking him." You could see that go back and forth with the disciples all the time, you know. But Jesus would say all kinds of unexpected things like this. He would say, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And they're like, you have to understand, they were taught since they were children that revenge was okay and was proper in some cases. And Jesus comes into the scene and goes, no, we ain't doing it like that. They're like, what? Jesus said all kinds of unexpected things. The greatest among you must be the greatest servant. And they're like, whoa, no thanks. Once I climb that ladder, serve me. And Jesus goes, no, you want to be great? You serve. And the night he's betrayed there, just before what we call the Last Supper, takes off his coat and he washes their feet. And they're like, don't do that to me. Do not wash my feet. You know why he said that? Jesus was taking on the role of the humblest, lowest servant in the house and modeling servanthood. And they knew he was telling them they would have to do the same. And they weren't in it. They weren't all having that. They were going to climb the ladder. Because when Jesus started his new political kingdom and became the ruler over all Israel, they're on the ground floor. They're his cabinet. Nobody going, I'm washing your feet. You wash my feet. And Jesus blows that away. Jesus was always saying stuff like that. You want to save your life? Well, then lose it for me. What? You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. Jesus saved me from my dreams because they were far too small. If he had allowed me, I've often thought, what would my life be like right now if Jesus hadn't saved me and given me a new course? I'm pretty sure my life would be like this. I'd be 65. I'm 65. I'd be 65. I'd probably, the trajectory was on my life, I probably would have excelled. I probably would have made a boatload of money. And I'd be staring at the last bit of my life going, is this all there is? Is this it? Is this it? Jesus saved me from my dreams to give me his. And you are so much more worth it than any job I could have ever held. You are so far beyond any title I could have ever carried. I lost my life, but I found it. I found it. And I don't regret it. Jesus would say, you know, if the Romans, and by law they could do this, if they force you to carry their military pack, by law they could force you. They could randomly say, Adam, pick up my pack and carry it. I wouldn't call you by your name because you're like lowlife. Oh, you're just a dog. Just carry my pack. And by law, Adam would have to carry it for a mile. And Jesus said, carry it too. They're like, what? I hate these Romans. I carry this pack, let alone 2 miles. The reason Jesus did it, go check it out. King of kings and Lord of lords, born in a room where they held animals. Who does that? King of all, but no crown of gold, seated on a throne, a crown of thorns nailed to a cross. Everything he did was unexpected and unusual. The more people tried to fit him into their box, the more he kicked that box open. Maybe you've had that experience. Jesus does the unexpected.
You've heard me say it. Let me say it again. I'm so glad that the God I serve, I can't easily figure out, because that means he's far beyond this small brain. I'm so grateful for that. Jesus was always doing the unexpected. They were on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is only about 7 miles wide. It's a little tiny thing, really. The guys are in a boat. These are seasoned fishermen, among others, and the storm is raging. I've seen that. I have seen that lake under, Debbie and I have seen it under the siege of a storm, and it is ferocious. And these guys, Jesus, oddly, is sleeping in the back of the boat, and this thing is being tossed every which way, and they go back and they wake up Jesus. That's just amazing to me. They wake up Jesus. He goes, "Aren't you afraid we're going to drown?" He goes, "What's the problem?" He stands up and says, "Peace be still." The thing goes to glass. It's interesting what the guys say right there. You go, "What kind of a man is this?" He was always doing the unexpected. Always doing the unexpected. But let's bring it back to the final week, Holy Week, Passion Week, this week. The events of that week, here's a simple outline. And for those of you that want to study this further, there'll be a link on Seaport's various Facebook pages, and you can follow along in detail what happened that week if you care to do that. But this is the Palm Parade on Sunday afternoon. On Monday and Tuesday, Jesus is teaching in the temple and creating a bit of a stir there. But on Wednesday, Judas conspires with the religious leaders to sell out Jesus. Thursday, they celebrate Passover in the upper room, the Last Supper. Jesus heads out to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives to pray. And of course, Judas sells him out. And Jesus then endures 6 different trials. And that night, he is held in a holding cell underneath the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. Can you imagine that? I've stood in that cell. Stood in it. I was so overcome, I had to get out of there. Friday morning, he's turned over for crucifixion, death, and burial. Saturday, there's silence. And Sunday, there's resurrection. The borrowed tomb is given back. It wouldn't be until after all of that that the disciples would begin to go, and you got to realize their world was rocked. They didn't know what to make out of this, because their expectations were, man, Jesus is going to just come in. He's going to kick out the Romans. It's going to be amazing. And suddenly Jesus is dead. Parade on Sunday, dead on Friday. And they're like, what? Jesus told them, "I'll be resurrected." But they're like, what? Your refusal to understand and to lock in your own expectations can cost you. They were having a hard time trying to figure it all out. But in the days after the resurrection, they begin to go, "Now we understand. Now we understand." And maybe you're here and you're simply saying, "I don't understand what God is doing in my life. I don't get it." And maybe you're like them, feeling all kinds of pain and like, "God, where are you? I don't get it. I'm disillusioned. What is it?" Many of us have been there. I've been there. And maybe you're living in the tension between your expectations and your reality. I get it. I do. You know, maybe things just haven't turned out like you'd hoped and dreamed and believed that they would. But what happens to these guys is this. They think it's like defeat, ruin. The dream is gone. What they didn't know was that Jesus was about to release a kingdom so great they couldn't even begin to grasp it and understand it. And he would indeed make them rulers in the sense that they would be those who would take that message of his kingdom throughout the earth and make them rulers, as it were, not in a political kingdom that was just temporary, but he would make them leaders in a kingdom that is without time or border. And they were shocked when they began to realize. And I will say this to you. Maybe you're in a season where things, your expectations have led you to a place, and you know, I don't understand. I can't figure it out. I can tell you again. Jesus will not necessarily meet your expectations, but he will exceed them by doing his. Let me bring this down as I close. Bring it down. Take a moment right now and ask yourself, where did I get my expectations about life and how things are going to go and Jesus and church? Where did I get those? You may say, I've gotten them from my experience, from the truth of Scripture. I've gotten them from just life or whatever. You have to take an honest moment and say, where did I get those expectations? And maybe you're like the disciples. You have to say, you know, wait a minute. I was so locked into my own thinking and my own desires and my own wants and my own wishes and my own pride. I've got to step back from them and go, wait a minute. I was locked onto the wrong stuff. Maybe those expectations have led you to confusion and disappointment. Get that. But I can tell you that if you'll do what those guys did, and it was tough. They're pictured after the resurrection as hanging out in the room. They lock the door and they're hanging out and they're like, what do we do now? I mean, what has happened to us? We just spent the last 3 years doing this and now Jesus is gone? What now? I love this. They're gathered there. The gospel writer makes a point to say the door was locked. And Jesus just walks through the wall. Hi, guys. How you doing? Stay close to the Lord, even in your doubt and your frustration and your hurt and your disappointment. Because God will exceed your expectations with amazing answers that you cannot at this moment see coming. And on the other side of it, your eyes will be opened like it was there in this life or in the life to come. And you'll go, my gosh, I couldn't see what he was doing. But it's so far greater. Thank you for not meeting my expectations, but giving me yours. If you'll trust him, that's what he'll do. Stand with me right now. We're going to pray together. If you've never met this Jesus I'm talking to you about, I want you to meet him. Maybe you've been hanging out at Seaport for a while. You've been thinking about this. I want you to meet Jesus. Your life will never be the same. I didn't say it would be easy and everything would fit in a nice box. I just told you it wouldn't. But what I did tell you is that it would be amazing. It will be that. And how God uses you, what he does in you. Easy? Everything makes sense all the time? No. Amazing? Yes. A team of people are going to be up front here. They'll pray with you about anything you need. Maybe you just need to come up and say to one of them, I just need to meet Jesus today, and they'll help you. They'll help you do that. If you need prayer for anything, they'll be right across the front. They'll pray with you. Let's take a moment. We'll pray, and then we'll sing the song and close. Father God, thank you. Sometimes, Lord, we need to be delivered from our expectations because they're too small. They take us the wrong direction. Or, Lord, sometimes the expectations that we have and the reality that we're experiencing just seem not to be anywhere near connected. But Lord, I pray that every single one of us would just take a moment, maybe reevaluate our expectations. But every one of us would make a decision that we're going to draw close to you. Because even though we may not understand right now, we know that you are a great and a mighty God, and your expectations and your plan will far exceed anything that we could ask, think, or imagine. Help us to step into that, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen, friends. If you need prayer, if you need to meet Jesus, come on, do that as we sing. After we sing, I'll close us out, and you can go on your way. Let's sing.
There is a name who reigns without contention, whose power can't be questioned or contained. With humble faith, he rules the earth and heavens. His glory knows no measure or refrain. And it's bursting past the border lines of space. Jesus, enthroned upon the praises of our hearts. Jesus, you're the King and you're the center of it all. Oh, there is a name reaching past the margin, calling sons and daughters back to him. And as he saves, we can hear the roar of heaven as the prodigals are coming home again. Oh, the triumph of his name will never end. Jesus, enthroned upon the praises of our hearts. Jesus, you're the King and you're the center of it all. Jesus, enthroned upon the praises of our hearts. You're the King and you're the center of it all. Oh. For every eye will see, every heart will know, there is no name above. You're the King and you're the center of it all. Jesus, enthroned upon the praises of our hearts. Jesus, you're the King and you're the center of it all.
Just before I close this morning and release you, Wednesday night, we're going to come together and we're going to worship, you know, we're going to pray, we're going to share testimonies. Come ready to do that. Hallelujah. It should be uplifting and exciting time. But also, Easter Sunday morning, God just stirred my heart. And I'm going to take at least a part of the service. It won't be the whole service, just a piece of the service. I believe the Lord has told me to do this and to pray for every person. I'm to receive physical healing. I just feel like I'm supposed to do that, so we're going to do it. Spirit of the living God, dismiss us now in your great grace, I pray. I thank you that we can meet together. May we honor you in all that we do and all that we say and all that we are. And help us to go love somebody for you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful, wonderful Palm Sunday. See you Wednesday night. Glory to God. Yeah, don't forget, journey to the cross anytime between 12 and 8. You will not regret it. You'll love it. Hallelujah. Join us. Jesus, enthroned upon the praises of our hearts.